Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you. Well, you're with me on this beautiful sixth day of January 2019, and we just barely made it. Man, it was close. I am so grateful to be on the air. I am so grateful that I'm able to share with you what I'm able to share due to the generosity of very few people who made this possible. If you're listening to this, and you know we've been trying to raise money for our radio program here, you're listening to it by the graces of some very kind people, just a few, and they made it possible, and I want to thank them from the bottom of my heart for making this possible, and I hope that some of you find it somewhere in your heart to have the courage to be kind. And it does take courage for most people to be kind. It's a difficult thing for human beings to be kind these days, basically because of just the times we're in and the people that are around us, our government, everything. It's pretty hairy. So I want to thank them. I want to thank you for listening, my listeners, and I hope that we have another wonderful year of being productive and doing things, teaching, listening, hopefully helping you in any way I possibly can. I want to be, I'm very humbled by this, and I'm very grateful. Well, let's look at life. Since we're starting off here in January 2019, Let's talk a little bit about the meaning of life, as it were, and what is this life? People send me little I don't think they're sarcastic, but they are inquisitive. I don't know if we have a lot of people the mental acumen to understand the questions we ask. I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people ask questions and then they hear these answers that I give them and they're not really up to it. Their mental status, their mental acuity is built around having fun, watching TV, living in the collective unconscious. So it makes it kind of hard for them to understand what I teach. But here we go, and hopefully I'll be able to help you. First question comes from Annie, and Annie doesn't tell me where she lives. Greg, I listen to you every day. Every day. Wow, that's a hard one. I only do two a week, but I'm sure she goes on the website and listen. And you can listen to these radio programs on the website at aspire.org, by the way. Can any one of us know life as you speak of it? The way you talk about life seems so different. Annie, thank you for your question, by the way. Of course you can know the life I'm speaking of. But your heart has to be open. And I am finding more and more and more that people's hearts are not open. They have the human heart, the emotional heart that most people equate to passion and all of that. And that's as far as they can basically go, is that human heart. But I find that most people don't have much interest in the authentic heart. Not at all. Not at all. So the only way you're going to understand anything in this world, anything that is meaningful, is through the heart. If you understand the nature of life, it will be through the heart of love. And if you don't have the heart of love, you don't have a life. I thought it was interesting during the holidays. Every holiday, I experiment with people. I sit in, when I wake up in the morning, I send texts to people who I know and people who are students, and even some of my fellow colleagues. And a a text can range. It's basically, I wish you not to, I never wish them a Merry Christmas. I wish them the love of the heart and the soul that lives within them, that they may realize their soul. And I tell them I love them, and that's it. You know, just a quick three-liner text. You would be probably surprised, Danny, at the lack of response I get. People do not know how to deal with this kind of experience, this kind of love. They think of it as affection, or they'll think of it as emotionality, or they don't have any feelings for what I put out, none whatsoever. And the interesting aspect of it is my colleagues, the people that are supposed to be teaching like I'm teaching, don't respond at all. They don't respond. They don't get it. It doesn't. And because we as people are the way we are, emotionally ill, mentally sick, we are, all of us. You can't live in this culture without being mentally ill. I'm mentally ill, you're mentally ill. To some degree, all of us are. You can't live in this society without being it, because of the nature of the people around us, how we function in this society, the collective unconscious, the whole thing. We all have it to some degree. We are not interested in the heart. We're not interested in love at all. We are interested in being affectionized as love, but we are not interested in love at all. And that is really a sad, sad state of affairs for me as I look at the world. And the only way you're going to know the meaning of life is through love. It is the only way. You are not going to find it in any other fashion. Love is that which lives deep in the space that you have yet to discover, you have yet to work with, that you have yet to realize. We don't even take the time for it. We'll listen to some sentimental love song or something and think that that's love. Or we'll think in our minds about being loved and hope that we do get loved and that we have all this love to give. And we really don't have a lot of love to give. Our love is tempered by our adoration, our need for adoration, and our adoration for ourselves through other people. It's pretty bad the way we go about things. And because of that, I give very little hope, as it were, to people. I give them, you know, the direct path, how to get on the path to love. And that's a very important thing to do. People aren't interested in that path of love. So you asked me, Annie, can any one of us know life as you? Yes, you can know this life I seek, this life I have found, this life that I teach, the whole thing. You can do it. If I can do it, anyone can do it. Anyone. I am nothing special. So you can find this love deep inside, but you're not going to find it through thought and desire and ambition and pride. You're only going to find it through silence. It is in your silences, the meaning of your silence, that you find the compassion to see exactly what you can only hear, to recognize what you hear deep within your being and understand that for what it is, as the presence of a tremendous ability to do wonderful things with your life. What is life? It is nothing but the opportunity for transformation, for transition. It is the opportunity to do amazing things with everything that you do, with every breath that you take. It is that blessing. And if you don't understand this, if you don't allow this to occupy your entire life, then you will miss. people are only interested in their survival. And they don't understand that survival without love is just living a life of a pure gratification, adoration. And for most people, I'm afraid that's enough. Annie, you have to get involved in a practice that's authentic, not a practice that appeals to your ego, your pride, your vanity, your need to be fulfilled emotionally. No, this has to be something that you feel very deep on the inside, something that is important to the authentic part of you, the part of you that you can take with you through death. That is the most important aspect of life. You can do this. It just takes dedication. You have to want love more than wanting what you think is love. I hope that helps you, Annie. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next question was very moving to me. Very moving. It comes to me from actually a friend in Los Angeles who listens to my radio program, much to my surprise. He said, "Greg, I have searched. Where is God in our life? I can't find him." Carrie. Carrie, God is not a him. It is not a body, a man, a thing. God is something that cannot be explained through words and thoughts. God, as Jesus said, is love. God is love. If I do not know love past my skin, my organs, then I will never know what God is. I could give you definitions, lofty ones, if I wanted to, I'm sure. But I think the simplest definition is the best. We're not interested in love. We're only interested, as I say, in being loved. What is this love thing? What is this thing called God in life or God as life? People buy into stories that ministers have told them about God. The God's this guy. You know, the Bible, the whole Bible trip of creating man in the image and likeness of God. If that were the truth, we're in deep trouble. We're in more trouble than we thought. Because look at humankind. Look at man. Look at how he is. He's a predator. Is God a predator? And then you hear stories about when tragedies happen, God had a purpose, a reason. It's not true. All of that is horse manure, and it's what people can accept. It's the way they live on the inside of themselves as a human story. How ignorant and foolish of me to think that the presence of something called love follows the same path as my human experience, my humanity. It doesn't. When Jesus said, God is love, that was huge. That was a huge definition. And it's humbling, if you really think about how humbling that is. God is love. What does that mean? Your whole purpose and my whole purpose in this life is to find the meaning of God is love. And few people will put themselves to the task of that. You have to do it with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength. It must be the only thing that is important to you. And if that can happen, if you can live in that, and something transcending happens. I have found it to be quite beautiful, this transcendence, this beauty of transcendence. Everybody misses this transcendence because they're so busy in their mind spotifying God as a definition that their mind can wrap around. My mind can only think so far. Then it can't go any further. I mean, I am no brain surgeon. I am not going to be sending rockets to Mars. You don't have to be that kind of mind to understand the nature of what Jesus said, God is love. Do you realize that the only real purpose Jesus has in our culture is through the idea of a religion that promotes guilt and shame, a religion that shames you into, you know, its doors? It does not provide for you the way, the truth, and the light of your heart. And would Jesus, if he were alive today, really, really, would he be appreciated? Would he be recognized? Would he be understood? Would he be listened to? Hardly. Hardly. We are a very cruel people who only think in terms of our selfishness. So let me say this to you, Carrie. I'm going to give you a statement that Lhotse gave in the Tao Te Ching. It's a very powerful one. Yield and overcome. You must yield. You and I must give up our ways of mind, of body, the way we perpetuate stupidity, the stupidity of being violent, the stupidity of being unkind, the stupidity of being cheap. We have to get beyond all of that. That's a hard thing to do because the human is so afraid, deeply afraid, that it will not exist, that it won't make it, that it won't survive. So it does and says and thinks a lot of things that are very unkind in order to sustain its place in this world as survival. But we will have to yield. What I mean by that is I'm going to have to yield to love. I'm going to have to find that place in me where you hear that still, small voice that is love itself. And then in that still, small voice, follow it. No matter where it may take you, no matter how it may lead you, just hear it. Follow it. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, follow it. It takes courage. And you have to drop the mind, the ego, the vanity, the pride, the religion. You have to drop all of that to come to a place where you can feel the presence of something greater than what your mind can think. And that's the key. If you can feel that presence without needing to think about it, without needing to analyze it, without needing to make it this or that, you will find the way. I'm going to be presenting the soul to my students this year. People think they have a soul, that they just can have a soul just because they think they have one. Or they've read somewhere that someone told them they have a soul. You don't. Why do you think you are here on this earth? You don't have one. A soul is something that envelops you, that more than sustains you, it is the meaning of your life itself. It is a place where you live, where you and I live, is in the body. People have a hard time understanding that. What do you mean? Of course I live in the body. Yes, that's what you believe. But the soul exists as another place to live. I don't know how successful I'm going to be this year. Probably not very. But it is important that my students be exposed to this one way or another. And I can't make them understand it. They're going to have to learn to awaken to it. You can't understand the soul. You must awaken to it. That's the meaning of life. Carrie, where is God in our life? Everywhere. And you only realize it through nothingness. Please forgive me. Namaste. Carrie's a good person. I get a kick out of him. And the last question from Dennis in San Francisco. If my body is not life, what is life, Dennis? Life is an inanimate experience. It can't be defined. It is not about an organism. It is not about finding some little hut to live in and surviving. It has nothing to do with any of that. Life is something you realize, not through thought. And if you're trying to find life through thought, you're going to miss. It is a realization. And a realization is not something that one gains through logic and reasoning. Realization is a presence that you come to, a sustainable expression of something other than what you can think. If you can think it, it isn't life. Life is the realization of what is beyond the whole idea of thinking. I can only tell you this as you begin to mature into meditation and allow meditation to change the way you accentuate your life, the way you and I live our life. You come to a place in meditation where silence becomes very pronounced, very profound. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere in that meditation, a deep, deep experience happens. And your mind drops, and you are no longer thinking in terms of black and white, even gray. You realize there is no need for thought itself in any way, shape, and form. And suddenly there it is, life. And once you realize it, once you find it, once it is there, the goodness of your heart begins to arise. And you see everything in proportion to love itself, not in proportion to your thoughts, but in proportion to love itself. That is an amazing moment in meditation, an amazing moment in life itself. You see life in proportion to itself. And with that, we move forward. In that, we come to the place where real evolution happens. The evolution that is a revolution through revelation. And now everything is different. Instead of living in the concrete, you can live even beyond the abstract. You live in the ebb and flow of the heart, which is an entirely different experience than anything you may have ever known before. I hope that helps. Thank you, Dennis. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'm out of here. Well, I hope that the first two radio programs for 2019 were helpful to you. And if they are, I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain these very unique programs. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.